It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Oh, it's right to Mac and Gatos on the program. Mm-hmm. Want to thank everybody for being a part of Phoenix Children's Hospital and our Giveathon. We opened it up at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. Mac, we finished it up at 7 o'clock on a Thursday. And the tote board read, a record $1.7 million.
Amazing.
It was an awesome, awesome, awesome night. Awesome couple days going and seeing the children and trying to lift their spirits up, give them a teddy bear. Again, you guys and gals out there who just gave so generously, we can't thank you enough. I mean, right in Arizona, everybody's looking at you, and they're looking at $1.7 million, and there are other cities saying, hey, we do this children's hospital fundraiser, and we get like half of what those guys do. Listen,
that's all on you.
It's all on you guys.
It's all on the state of Arizona. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, we can provide the platform. And that's what we do.
But
and
you guys come through.
$1.7 million. Mm-hmm. And never been a bigger fundraiser for a children's hospital ever. So congratulations. All right. Let's get some news. Let's get back to some news.
Oh, boy.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, the Democrats Democrats are saying some stuff. And usually we don't like Democrats. We don't like Republicans. Well, we're skeptics.
Bash both of them if they deserve it. Yeah.
But this is just so over the top bad.
Yeah.
You got to talk about it.
Okay. So I don't know why. And maybe this is what Democrats are going to run on. I mean, honestly, I don't know. You know, America's not a very good place. Never has been. Well, hold on. Who would say something like that? I don't think this guy's necessarily a household name. Maybe if you really follow politics. New York Governor, Democrat Andrew Cuomo. Here's what he said.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness.
Well, I think we can do a lot better. Mm. I think that certainly we have our problems in the United States. But to say that this isn't a great country, I totally disagree.
And never has been.
I think it is a great country, but it's not a perfect country, and it never has been a perfect country, and it never will be a perfect country. There's no country out there that's absolutely perfect. We've had our growing pains. But to say that this place that we love and we live in is not great and never has been great, I think it is great. I think we got a lot of problems that we got to solve. But I do think this is a great country. Listen, where else do you want to live? Where do you want to go? You want to go to Canada?
See, that's the part that...
You want to go to Switzerland? And I don't.
And that's immediately what I thought about. Moving to Canada. No.
Yeah, right.
No. Although it's a lovely place, I don't know what is the purpose of bad-mouthing the country that you're in? Oh, okay. I understand now. If you bad-mouth it, then you victimize everybody, so then everybody, you demonize what you don't like, so you then say, I can fix it. Mm-hmm. Because if Andrew Cuomo came out and said, America is a great country and has been great, the Democratic Party wouldn't be able to exist because it would prove Donald Trump correct. So he's got to demonize the country and kind of take a shot at Donald Trump saying, it never really has a great country. So if it wasn't really a great country anyway, how can we make it great again? Well, what you're basically doing is saying we've never really been great.
We don't have anything to be proud of?
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly. So you want to play the victim card. How many more times? How many times do you want to play the victim card to where you actually, because there are people that will say, we're a horrible country, we treat people horribly, blah, 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 blah. They really don't like this country. And once the Cold War formally ended, once these, you know, the big bad Soviets, the USSR went away, mm-hmm. we had no real enemy. And if you don't have a real enemy, look at eighth grade, look at high school, look at sororities, look at frats. If you don't have something to rail against, what do? You turn in on yourself. Boy. And he is blaming us, ourselves,
yeah.
for how bad everything
is. Why can't
is?
You rail against the problems that the country has? And you not could. Say a kind of a blanket statement of the country's never been great.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing. So a Democrat is saying the country's never been great. Didn't Trump kind of say something similar? He had his big slogan of, let's make America great again. So what he was saying was, America, when he was running, and it's 2016, America's not great right now. That's what he was saying.
And there were probably people who assume or were agreeing with him if they didn't like Obamacare, if they didn't like the recession.
So is America only great when you have your party in the White House? That's silly.
Sadly.
Well, I'm not going to think that way.
No. And usually most people don't. But sadly, there are people who think that when Barack Obama was elected, it was going to radically change America. And it didn't. There were things that happened. But by and large, it radically didn't change. When Donald Trump was elected, people thought, my God, we're going to be radically changed. And we really haven't. Have we gotten worse? Have we gotten better? That all depends on your purview. That all depends on your wallet, your family, if you have a job or not, or whatever. It's not as though it's a total title shift, but notice the Democrats want you to believe, hey, this country was never great in the first place, but we, the Democrats, can fix everything.
So
it is insulting to people's intelligence when they actually say this stuff, and nobody holds them accountable for it.
Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo saying America was never that great. Now we got Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton says,
she tweeted it out to a little girl who got in trouble.
An 11-year-old girl was disciplined by her teacher in Maryland because the 11-year-old chose to take a knee in protest during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, boy.
And so Hillary says, well, that's so courageous to exercise your right and blah, blah, blah.
To protest injustice.
Yeah. No. If you're my kid and you want to take a knee during the national anthem, you better stand your rear end up or you're not going to be able to sit on it. I mean, I think that if you're 11 years old, you're doing it because you probably saw it on TV and you really don't understand what you're doing.
Or your parents have said, something to the effect that you should maybe do this or something like it's the little girl doesn't know he even had a spell. Injustice, let alone understand what it is, and as an 11-year-old. And to actually say this is okay by an elected or a formerly elected leader, I think is abhorrent. Abhorrent. Yeah. What you're doing is you're allowing people to basically say, I don't need to like the teacher. I don't need to like the class. I don't need to like anything. You want them to learn, right? Do you want them to become activists when they're 11? I don't. Wait till you're an adult. If you want to have that mentality, wait till you're an adult. I would like you to stand for the pledge. I'd like you to learn something. I'd like you to behave so you can get through school. This girl has been removed from the school, and darn tootin', there's going to be a lawsuit, and it's going to become a big deal whether or not children can take a knee during the Pledge of Allegiance. This has gotten absolutely silly stupid.
I'm more offended that you just said darn tootin'.
I could have said something else, but, I'm a little punch drunk from PCH.
No, I am offended that you said that.
And
that you
I don't want to get kicked off the air.
I cannot believe that you would even say that. Goodness gracious. Yeah, I'm not proud of an 11-year-old who takes a knee during the national anthem. There are kids all around Arizona. They are taught to stand up, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then a lot of times sing the national anthem at schools. And I think that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this 11-year-old has any idea why she's taking a knee. During the pledge. No clue.
No.
All right. Coming up next, Sheriff Paul Penzone is going to join us. Apparently, the ACLU of Arizona says that the MCSO is still showing racial bias when pulling people over. We'll get to the bottom of this with Penzone next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Well, the ACLU of Arizona is saying that the MCSO, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, still has racial bias in traffic stops. Now, this goes all the way back to the previous sheriff, Joe Arpaio, pulling people over, what they deemed, the federal court deemed as racially biased. If you had brown skin, you were more likely to be pulled over, not necessarily because you had something wrong with your car or you made an infraction, but because of the color of your skin. Well, the new sheriff, Paul Penzone, was elected basically to clean that up and to clean that image up. But
right.
The ACLU is saying there's still bias.
All right. Joining us now, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone with Mac and Gatos on KTAR. Okay, Sheriff, is this report accurate? What do you think?
let's clarify what the report is. The court ordered under Melendrez that because of those historical practices, they want to make sure there was data and that that data could assist us in identifying patterns of practice where if a deputy had a behavioral pattern that was inconsistent with their peers in that particular area, in that there were indicators to show that maybe they cited a particular group more so than another. So if you were comparing apples to apples on violations, why are you choosing to cite one group more than another if that's the case? So this report is the first step in the process. And for anyone who believes in due process, you want to make sure that the data alone is not the only thing that speaks to it. So what we do is we take that data, we identify any deputies whose behaviors are outside the norm, and then we go through their paperwork, their traffic stops, which includes the video that they wear. They all wear video cameras. Mm-hmm. And we make a determination if, in fact, those practices cause us to have issues of concern for that individual. And then we bring them in. And we sit down and we give them a chance to speak to it. You know, why did you choose to cite this particular person for this violation when this other individual had the same violation and was not cited?
Okay.
So we're trying to get into the head of the deputy to determine why they're making these judgments and if it's truly rooted in bias or is it something that is either implicit or something that they're unaware of that we can work with to help them overcome and address it because they have a greater recognition. So I'm always concerned when anyone goes out, not because we don't have the same priorities to get this office on track in every way possible, but what we don't want to do is demonize deputies who are out there doing a very difficult job under very trying conditions and label everyone or paint everyone with the same brush. So, yes, this report we're talking about actually still goes back into 6 months prior to me taking office to the first 6 months of my office, and we're still a work in progress. But I don't want us to get into that stage where nothing has changed because a considerable amount in this office has changed for the better.
If I'm hearing you correctly, Sheriff, this isn't about 2018. This is the 6 months after you were elected, after you took office, and the 6 months before with the old regime.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, you know,
okay.
It's an ongoing process. Now, one of the things that I do want to touch on is this is a very, very complex process because when you're taking all this data and trying to melt it all down and come out with information that's valuable, you want to have an expertise in it. And our original contractor did a great job, but we had some challenges where some of the data was either flawed or the methodology. So we have moved on to another company that really has a lot of history and expertise in it, and they're going to be starting the process with us as an ongoing extension of what we've done already in this next cycle. And we're hoping to dig down even deeper and to really have information that's helpful. Because I can tell you right now, we have deputies that we have absolutely addressed. We've had deputies that left the organization. We've had other deputies that when they went through this process had a greater recognition and have changed their practices to make sure that it wasn't perceived to be biased. And it's no different than any other organization. When you're trying to make change, if you had 24 years of one particular mentality and type of leadership, the change will take time. If you want to build a foundation strong, you have to have patience and do your best that you hold everyone accountable one circumstance at a time.
Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone is joining us. A report out. ASU researchers put this report out, and the ACLU of Arizona is saying there's an image problem for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office when it comes to racial bias in traffic stops. Well, Sheriff, how have you made sure that your deputies are not pulling someone over based on their race? How have you improved since taking over the office?
Well, some of the things, if you read through the entire report, which is quite comprehensive, there it will make note of the fact that we have decreased the percentages relative to the disproportionate stops. We decreased the amount of time that deputies are spending on these stops. In other words, are we holding in one particular race on a traffic stop longer than another? We've decreased those areas. Our community outreach has expanded considerably. You know, there are numerous categories under the court orders that we have to adhere to. And we went from about 15% compliance in most areas when I took office to the majority being upwards of 65 to 85% compliance now. So we've made great strides to get to that place where the clock begins, that we can have that 3 years of compliance and we can get out from under these court orders. But there's still work to do. And it's not going to happen overnight. But here's what's most important. Two things from my perspective. One, we cannot demonize and we must support these deputies when they do the job that they're doing. And when we identify those deputies that are doing it improperly, We must have due process and hold them accountable. But they are entitled to a fair process, no different than the community is in any circumstance. But for us to continue to kind of say, well, this whole organization has a problem, is being short-sighted and not giving credit where credit is due. And they've made great strides, and we will continue to make strides.
All right, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we've got the sounds of the week. Mac, as you like to call that?
The good, the bad, the ugly, the fun and frivolity of the previous week condensed into about 2.5 minutes.
Beautiful. But first...
The Trump Tracker, our weekly review of President Trump's hits and misses. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Okay, a hit, something Trump did well this week. A miss, something Trump did bad this week.
Hit.
Mac, your hit for President Trump.
Okay, so far, there has been no recording released of Trump saying the N-word. I know this sounds odd, but I really do think if there is a recording of him saying the N-word at some point, whether it be on The Apprentice, in the White House, wherever, this is going to be the thing that just absolutely makes America just go nuts, more so than anything else.
The tape with I want to grab women by the...
Right, yeah. Right. I hate to say this, but I don't care if he uses the word. I hope he doesn't. I just hope there's no recording of it that has been threatened, because I just think it would... You talk about chaos. Mm-hmm. There'd be even much more of it if there were actually a tape.
Miss.
All right, the miss is there's going to be no parade in D.C. Trump wanted a military parade. He canceled the parade, but then he started taunting the mayor of the District of Columbia over it. Now, dude. I don't know what happened between you and the D.C. mayor. I mean, maybe there was a back and forth there. But don't cancel it and then start trolling the D.C. mayor about it.
Do you not know who this man is?
Bad form.
Come on, why are you so...
Bad form.
I was looking forward to that parade. That would have been awesome. They could have done like...
I know you want.
I know. Hey, let's do the parade. I was really looking forward to it. All right. The Trump Tracker, our weekly review of President Trump's hits and misses. All right, it's my turn, all right?
Hit.
My hit is that Donald Trump, the President of the United States, was nice enough on Twitter to wish Maxine Waters a happy birthday.
Yeah, what?
He said, happy birthday to the leader of the Democratic Party, Maxine Waters.
Wait.
Now, Mac, don't you know that he's growing, and this is, he's not saying it tongue-in-cheek. I mean,
Come on.
I think he really means it.
Wait, there's no way. There's no way. Did he actually wish Maxine Waters happy birthday, or is it somebody else?
No.
Is it fake news?
Happy birthday to the leader of the Democratic Party, Maxine Waters. I think that's big of the man.
You know she's not the leader of the Democratic Party.
Are you saying...
I am.
...that during my good part of the Trump Tracker, the hit, is that he put it up there to make fun of her?
Of course!
I am not going down that road, Mac. I think that he was trying to be the bigger man here.
Well, she's not the leader of anything. Jeez.
All right. My miss is that this man continues to put himself in the middle of everything, and that includes the death of Aretha Franklin. Don't say anything when people die, Mr. President, because what he did was he said she was a great woman, she worked for me. Oh, for crying out loud. How did she work for you? No, not everyone has worked for you, Mr. President, okay? You're not the boss of all bosses. Why couldn't you just say, I loved her. She was a great woman.
Yeah, rest
God
in peace.
God bless her.
Right.
She worked for me. No, keep yourself out of the story.
Jeez.
The Trump Tracker, our weekly review of President Trump's hits and misses. All right, we are done. We're out of here. Chad Benson is coming up. We've got the sounds of the week in just seconds.
Have a great weekend. Until next time.
It's great to have Mac and Gatos on the show.
The Sounds of the Week brought to you by Blue Sky Pest Control.
Better technicians, better service, and Rosie certified. Schedule today at blueskypest.com.
Chair Paul Panzone is in studio, his monthly exclusive interview. I don't know if you heard, Joe Arpaio was duped during an interview with Sacha Baron Cohen.
I have heard a little bit about something.
Huh.
So if Donald Trump calls you up after this and says, Sheriff Joe, I want to offer you an amazing... Would you say yes?
I may have to say yes.
What did you think about it?
I'm just going to be real for a minute. When he's talking to the little donut, that was too much for me.
Delish donut, do you want to say hello?
Hi.
Oh, my word.
I have tried for a number of months now to get my daughter, who is now 9, some self-defense courses.
You want me to teach her some karate?
No.
I am good.
She will chop me in the throat. That's the first thing you teach her. Becky Lynn, we're still under a dust advisory, correct?
Yes.
Want me to play the song, Dust in the Wind? I always like
it. Oh, that would be perfect.
Dust in the wind.
See, that just makes it okay, right?
All they are is dust in the wind.
Take it back.
So that makes some guy that lost his tree on his roof okay? Is that what you're saying?
Did we beat 1.67 million? The tote board reads 1.7 million and change. 1,728,142.
Sounds like easier.